Okay, hi, I'm Olga. Diane asked me actually to talk about approach of organizational ecology is a specific theoretical approach to entrepreneurship and innovation. I'm an ecologist, so I'll try to give you a very short overview of how this framework can be used to study these subjects. Okay, so first of all, what's an organizational ecology? Organizational ecology is a very wide framework that includes several partially overlapping theories which are based on the common idea that in order to understand how organizations perform and how industries acquire certain structures, we can look and analyze at organizational vital rates, namely rates of from foundings, growth, innovation, and failure. So entrepreneurship is obviously about founding, and here you see innovation, but in a few slides I'll tell you how they specifically approach these issues. Okay, let's start with what entrepreneurship is. I know everybody here is interested in entrepreneurship and a lot of people study it, but there is no agreement about the definition, so I'll give you a definition my theory relies on. So we see entrepreneurial event as an operational inception of a new form. And an entrepreneur is an individual who plays a central role in the opening a new firm. As I said before, a lot of people study that and a lot of different theoretical traditions, but most research has been done until recently at the individual level of analysis with an assumption of rationality. What people did, they tried to identify entrepreneurs and figure out what's special about these people from the personality perspective or conditions in which they grew up and live that makes them found new firms as opposed to people who don't. So that's one approach. Ecology is as different from this approach as you can imagine because we don't look at people, we look at organizations, and we don't look at individual organizations, we look at all organizations overall in a given industry, which we call population. And we don't believe in the rationality of action. So to try to make it a concise description, which is a big area, I made a graph. What ecologists look at to understand entrepreneurship, they look at founding rates, rates at which new firms are founded in the population, which can be defined as an industry or as a region. But we also separate these founding rates into two distinctive components, founding attempts. A lot of people attempt to start companies, but not many people actually manage to reach the stage where they start companies that become fully operational. So we look at these two processes. And we look at another process. We don't start just with founding new firms. We try to understand which of these new firms managed to perform well and survive, and which of them fail, and why. There are a lot of different questions that people ask that partially overlap with other theoretical frameworks like institutional theory. We have a lot of representatives here. So I try to organize them in different buckets, but the borders are not very firm. Like, for example, people look at, they try to understand how the role of the environment in founding attempts of new organizations. And some people believe it's resources, it's what's important, like physical resources, financial resources, human resources. But other people say that it's mainly institutions, right? Or institutions is a key to understanding these processes. Other people look at pre-production events and initial organizing. And a lot of people believe that this attempts of entrepreneurial foundings is related to social movement dynamics in the industry. So a lot of interesting issues happens in the area of understanding founding events, attempts. So when people are successful about pre-production organizing, they actually move to the stage where they officially launch their company that becomes operational. Again, there are a lot of issues to study here. People try to understand how we can explain who succeeds and who not at starting a new company after they attempted. People look at endogenous processes in the industry, but some people say you actually have to look outside of the industry to understand what's going on inside. people look at how new startups agglomerate together in a certain kind, around certain kind of product or around certain kind of region. Others look at how startups try to differentiate from each other. Spin-offs is a very popular topic, how employees at companies like IBM leave IBM to start a similar kind of company, but their own company. People look at how companies are started in a different kind of niches. And I'll talk about in a minute about entry mode. It's where I do research. Finally, we never stop here because, okay, starting a company is just the first step. What's important is how well the company does. And the ultimate measure of this is survival. There are a lot of intermediate stages like growth rates and innovation rates that many people look at as well. But the ultimate test, does a new organization manage to survive or not? There are a lot of issues to look here as well. There are kind of natural processes of aging and so on, but it's not as interesting anymore. A lot of modern research is focused on categorization processes, which takes the point that it's not only about how well organization performs objectively, it's also about how different audiences like consumers, investors, competitors, and so on perceive an organization, how they categorize it. So here we look at identity space as a resource, and I look at names as a resource, right? It's all different ways to categorize companies. Okay, so talking about entrepreneurship and innovation, how does ecology links them together? There are different ways people do it. I'll talk just about one, how I do it, but be sure that there are many other ways people do it. So I look at two types of entrants. De novo, it's entrepreneurial startups. These are companies that never had any business existence of any kind before. But there are a lot of firms that exist somewhere else and decide to start a new company or subsidiary, either in a new region or in a new industry or in a new country. So they call the early entrants. So a lot of my research focuses on understanding the difference between these two types of entrants. And I found that de novo firms tend to have fewer resources, but they have greater structural flexibility, and they have very specific identity attached to their industry because they usually operate in one industry. These factors bring the following results. Different audiences like investors and consumers expect de novo firms to be more innovative. The high expectations attached just to the fact that you are an entrepreneurial startups. What's interesting that they're actually more innovative. Structural flexibility allows them to produce more innovative outcomes, but they're less likely to benefit from innovation. So one of the more recent projects I actually do with Diane and Ganji Yuk, who is a former student from here as well, and we look at how de novo and de early firms undertake long-term innovation that departures from the current knowledge called exploration. And we found that although they're more likely to succeed at this innovation, they're less likely to benefit if we measure benefits in terms of survival. Also, I found in many other people that de novo firms are less likely to survive, but they play a huge role in new industries and in regions because they help to legitimate them. So recently I started looking not just at de novo firms but at the early entrants, and I do a very interesting research project with, I try to find him, Arkhangel Hilov? Oh, he's out, okay. So it's Arkhangel, Kardera, and Vassain. We look at the early entrants. I would call them corporate entrepreneurs, right? It's an existing firms that decide to open a new venture in a different country. Specifically, we look at firms that exist in the US and decide to move to Mexico. So Mexico is a very interesting political environment if we talk about macro environment, because the government there doesn't always manage to keep the public order. So these early entrants have to decide, do they want to enter there and what place they want to enter there? What we argue is that they will choose to go to places where they think the public order could be upheld. But which is a kind of very intuitive thing, right? It's not interesting. What's interesting is how they decide where the government is capable to keep in the public order and where the government is not capable. In particular, we look at one sign of when the government is not capable, we look at the criminal activity. So public order could be established by the government, or it could be established and upheld by criminal organizations like drug cartels. So rationally, you would assume that these companies will study statistics to decide which area is the worst, where the drug cartel's rivalry is high and the government cannot do much. But based on the previous research, we predict that companies will not analyze objective information. Instead, they will rely on perceptions that people created about specific region in Mexico, which region has higher criminal identity and which one is not. And that's what we found, that entrants rely on perceptions rather than on official statistics. If you haven't seen the poster of Archangel, I recommend you to go and see it after the break. It's at the very end, and when he comes, so, I don't know. Is he going to come back?
We don't know.
Oh, you can grab Vest too, I mean. It's a great project. Okay, finally, Diane asked me to make a link to creativity. I can make only an indirect link because creativity is a psychological construct, obviously. Ecologists don't study people, they study organizations, but yeah, but there is a link. So I look at the role of names on firms and names of products. The big finding is that names shouldn't matter. What should matter is quality, right? Objective quality, but research shows that they matter outside of objective quality. So I have a series of papers where I look how firms use names to select names for themselves and for their product. It's a truly creative process. It's a truly important process because audiences like consumers and investors use names to categorize firms and decide how to interact with them. So what I found is quite interesting that founders of new firms, they're actually great at selecting names that allow them to maximize performance in the form of mobilizing more resources from audiences. So they're much better than the other firms in this respect. But if you look at founders of only new firms, serial founders, which are supposed to be more experienced or have more knowledge about how to select good names, they actually make suboptimal choices. Like first-time founders are the best at selecting names that would allow them. I look at the amount of capital raised, to raise the capital. So do other stuff, you can look at my post-presentation if you didn't see it. It's on names as well, it's something different, but it's one of those. Okay, that's... Yeah.